There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is our origin story.
My Talk 107.1 is KTMY FM HD1.
My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Bradley's eating a protein bar, I think. Good job, Bradley.
But it's not a chili cinnamon roll combo.
I can't. You brought this to me this morning, and I was like, no, I've never heard of people eating a cinnamon roll with chili.
Now, did either of you see the tweet yesterday from our governor?
I don't follow the governor on Twitter. I have to
you
admit.
Should to stay abreast of public affairs, Dawn. It's a good civic
I
duty.
I don't really get into politics on Twitter.
Our governor yesterday tweeted the following. Good man. And what he...
Good man.
What he was referring to
John
was
Goodman?
A... What he was referring to was a tweet that he retweeted from a guy named Kyle. And Kyle said, apparently, the East Coast is not receptive to cinnamon rolls with your chili, and I'm heartbroken. Like, I'm sorry this looks amazing and only Midwesterners understand. And then he attached a photo of a bowl of chili with a big fat cinnamon roll stuck in the middle of it.
God.
And I was like, I need to understand what's going on here. Now, have you, first of all, 651-641-1071, have you had this? Not, have you heard of it? Not... You have thoughts about it, but have you actually had it? A cinnamon roll and chili, 651-641-1071. So now let's back up, because I know, Dawn, you're probably saying to yourself, Why chili, cinnamon? You've never heard of this, right?
No, it sounds like something that, you know, your drunk friends come up
Thank
with.
Thank you.
And they're just like rooting through your refrigerator, and you're like, well, hey. I have chili and some old ass cinnamon rolls in here.
Old ass cinnamon rolls. Yes. No, you're absolutely right. It sounds like drunk food, like 2 a.m. Like, what can I need some? I need some.
Oh my God,
chili,
so good.
And I'm gonna sop it up with a cinnamon. Oh, you know, that's not that bad.
It's really good.
But apparently, Dawn, this is a big thing in other Midwestern states. Now, I've lived in 3 Midwestern states. I've never had this. I've never seen it. I've heard of it out there, sort of in the ether, never tried it. But apparently in South Dakota, and this has become like a thing on the internet because now or on social media, because people are like, what? And the governor actually called in to a local publication to talk about his tweet and to say, in fact, this is a real thing. And the school that he worked at, because, you know, he was a teacher and a coach, that they would serve in the cafeteria chili and a cinnamon roll.
So it wasn't like, okay, just on chili day, they had cinnamon rolls?
No, they served these two together. And there are pictures online of them, like a bowl of chili with like a cinnamon roll on top. It is so bizarre to me. Anyway, I need to understand what this is actually like. We do have a listener on the line. Let's go to Andrea. Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Yeah, I actually grew up in central Iowa, but we had regularly hot lunch with chili with a cinnamon roll. They always came together, and it was the most popular hot lunch day.
Really?
Because the cinnamon rolls are really good.
Really? So now, would you like, do you eat the chili, then the cinnamon roll, or were people like combo, you know?
I mean, I didn't, but I suppose some people might have dipped it, but I ate one at a time, usually.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird combo, though, right? Like, you think of cinnamon rolls not like as a lunch snack. You think of them as, I mean, I do. I should speak for myself.
It's
I think
like
of them as like a
you
breakfast.
You need for an entire 3 days.
Well,
right, yeah. And I don't, nowadays, as an adult, I don't ever crave a cinnamon roll with my chili.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Andrea, thank you so much for calling. 651-641-1071. If you two, like Andrea, have had this experience, because I just... I don't know. Dawn, you said you were open to this. We talked about it earlier, and you said, well, I would try it.
I try most things, you know, when it comes to food. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll try it, you know. I do like cornbread with chili. I if I make chili, I usually get a little
cornbread
jiffy.
Makes total sense.
A little jiffy, you know, like a dollar cornbread mix. And just, you have to have that with
cornbread muffins for sure.
So there's like a sweetness to that for sure that sort of cuts through the spicy chili.
So to me, like, I get the sweet thing, right? Because, like, we love to put salty and sweet together. Mm-hmm. To me, the thing that I'm having a hard time with, other than, like, the frosting in the chili, because that's just kind of giving me some herbs. Actually, it's giving me a little...
nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
He just did the story so he could play that, you guys.
So it's giving me that, but also the cinnamon?
No. Hey, I'm not going to convince you that this is good. I just said I would try it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I think what we should do, just for the purposes of experimentation, is on Chili Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
I'll go find some cinnamon rolls and we can try a special edition food prawn. Let's go to Leanne. She's been patiently holding as well. Leanne, what are your thoughts? Have you had this chili cinnamon roll concoction?
So until I was 12, I lived in the Twin Cities metro. We never had it for lunch. And then when I got older, I moved to central Minnesota near St. Cloud, where it was routinely featured on the menu, chili and cinnamon roll.
Okay.
And I was really confused when I moved to this area, like, what is this? But it was a common thing. I don't remember anyone dipping or anything like that. It was just like chili and yay, bonus cinnamon roll. Oh. But it was a routine thing on our menu when I was in high school.
Okay, so it was like a combo, but not necessarily like, you got to dunk your cinnamon roll. Because I will say the image that was on Twitter was literally like a Cinnabon, like shoved in a bowl of chili. And that just looked so bizarre to me.
Yeah, no one that I ever knew of dunked the cinnamon roll in the chili. It was together, but never together.
Okay, gotcha. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Leanne.
Yeah, have a great day.
I've looked up the origins of this. It says some say the dish can be traced back to logging camps at the beginning of the 20th century, where hardworking loggers needed meals that were both high in calories and satisfying.
That sounds like one
most
of those
others
made up stories.
Cite chili and cinnamon rolls as a once essential part of their school lunch programs.
That's what it most likely. It sounds like to me because all of the things
loggers ate it.
I don't feel like loggers were, you know, like, hey, Jam, I'm going to make chili today. What would you like with your chili so we can get some extra calories?
Let's create an elaborate pastry.
Yes, exactly. Do you have any yeast? Any powdered sugar in the logging camp?
I think they would just have like Johnny cakes or whatever.
Johnny cakes. Equally absurd old-timey bread item. Spoon bread.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it sounds like to me, I bet this was a school lunch thing, kind of that's where people are getting the nostalgia. Because I will say, in addition to the tweets about this, they seem very connected to school lunch. We've also got an email from a number of people. We got an email from Heather who said this was on the lunch menu of every elementary school once a week in the winter when I was growing up.
Okay.
And Teresa said, I grew up in Iowa. It was not a thing. We had cornbread with chili. I don't think cinnamon with chili is weird, or the roll itself. It's like bread. I think the frosting is weird. Yeah, I agree with you. I just think, you know, cinnamon with chili. I guess, you know, people put cinnamon in things, but not so much. Like cinnamon roll cinnamon is different than like, oh, there's a quarter teaspoon of cinnamon to go.
Yeah, you can't probably taste it.
Oh, this is like...
it's all about the bread and the frosting.
This is
just a
big cakey... cinnamony, gobby, gooby.
So my mom is, if you don't know, she is the head lunch lady.
Well, do they serve this in Missouri?
No, and I bet she would have a bunch of reasons why, like, it wouldn't count nutritionally on her, because they have to have, you know, standards in school lunch.
I will say that one of our senators, Tina Smith, she actually posted a video online trying this Frankenstein concoction.
Yes.
And she took a swipe of chili and then shoved a piece of cinnamon roll in her mouth. And the face that she made wasn't encouraging. I love Tina too, but this was not an encouraging look.
She was giving her real feelings.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think she was trying to be polite in the way that we're all Minnesota polite. Like, we'll try it. All right. So should we try this on Chili Wednesday next week?
Yeah, we should.
Mike, how are your feeling about?
I am in. I went to a small town, Minnesota.
You never
Minnesota.
Had this?
Never heard of it in my entire
life.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it.
My parents even had the restaurant. Nothing anyone ever ordered at the restaurant. This was, right. No, I'd never heard of this before.
Do you do any? We should have a chili conversation someday, mm-hmm. because I guarantee we all have different chili feels.
Oh, sure.
Because don't you feel like everywhere is different when it comes to what constitutes good chili?
Sure.
All right. We'll do chili talk another day. But when we come back here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, we have an unsolved mystery. That's an unsolved mystery for those of you who don't listen. This one about the ancient apocalypse when we return right here on My Talk.
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. We'd love to talk about weird things that don't have an explanation, or maybe they do, in this segment.
What is that? Unsolved mysteries of the unknown. But it's probably aliens or ghosts.
What are we talking about today, Bradley?
Well, it might not be ghosts. It could be aliens. Or it could just be an ancient lost civilization. Dawn, have you ever watched a show called Ancient Apocalypse?
I haven't, but it's sort of a new thing on Netflix because it was just out November of last year.
Yep. So, and Mike, I put a link to the trailer.
Got it.
It's not on, you know, yep. You got, with the and the, you know, yep. And the. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of this trailer and then let's talk about Ancient Apocalypse.
Did you know that you were picking a fight with academia? Because there's a lot of people that just don't want to hear this.
You have been at the front of the line for decades, and you exposed me to a lot of these controversial ideas that have now been substantiated.
Well, I'm Graham Hancock. I don't claim to be an archaeologist or a scientist.
Time traveler.
I am a journalist, and the subject that I'm investigating is human prehistory.
Graham. That's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic. And I should say, spoiler alert, I don't believe a lot that's in this series, but I had a blast watching it.
Okay.
Because Graham, I almost said Graham Norton. It's not Graham Norton, who I also love, but Graham Hancock is an author, and a lot of people would know him from the books that he's written, Fingerprints of the Gods, Magicians of the Gods, America Before, Supernatural, Visionary, The Sign in the Sea. He writes all these books, and they're kind of...
sci-fi-y.
I guess it's hard to put him in a box. Actual scientists and archaeologists would probably say this is pseudoscience.
And
others would say he's just speaking truth to power. He's a journalist who has found these stories, and academia, mainstream academia, is ignoring them, which is why you're hearing him on things like Joe Rogan and like places where people go with these sorts of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
But, and I do mean but, there's a big but, this series is actually uber fascinating, even if you don't buy into his conspiracy theories.
Okay.
Now, before I begin, I just want to tell you the essential conspiracy theory is this. You know how there's all these flood myths in cultures across the world?
Yes.
So like our Christian friends, our
Noah's Ark,
Judeo-Christian friends, our Islamic friends, our Persian friends, our Zoroastrian friends, like there are all of these cultures and religions throughout time that reference a big flood. Okay. He says, actually, there was this big flood that happened after this last ice age. There was like a mini ice age, long story short. It caused a bunch of flooding. As the planet started to warm, it caused a bunch of flooding, and these floods happened, and it wiped out all of these advanced civilizations. Like, humanity was at one point, like, really far advanced. The floods came, washed it all away. We've got all these remnants of the floods as, you know, kind of dusty memories, right? So that's where all the myths come from. But he says, essentially, when those floods came in.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel. Destroyed everything. A bunch of people from this advanced civilization went back to, like, after the floodwaters receded and spread out across the globe to help the remnants of humanity remember the technologies they lost.
Oh.
So they were like these super smart people from this lost civilization that spread across the globe. And that's why we've got pyramids in one place and pyramids in another.
Yeah.
Like, so it's that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Right? The good news is you don't have to buy that conspiracy theory to enjoy the show, because each of the episodes takes you to one of these archaeological places throughout the world.
Mm.
And you learn about the actual archaeology of the place, even if you're not buying in to all of the, like, whether or not some ancient civilization
existed, like Atlantis.
Yeah.
Okay. So would the ancient aliens dude like this? Because they say that it's aliens that came down and helped us out, you know, build the pyramids, and acknowledging that there was a flood, but we didn't get any of that information until aliens gave it to us.
Yeah.
Does he support that at all?
I don't know the ancient aliens guy. So he was not a part of this okay. series. But each episode of Ancient Aliens literally takes you to places. There's this place in Turkey called Göbekli Tepe, I'm probably saying that wrong. Göbekli Tepe. Anyway, it's this ancient place where there's a bunch of caverns that shouldn't have had a level of technology that they have. So there are a lot of fascinating mysteries.
Like they found a fax machine in the cave.
No, not like that. But again, you don't have to be fully invested in the conspiracy theories
to
find
it.
The archaeology and those mysteries to be fascinating, right? Like, you can just revel in the mystery and not have to have an answer that involves aliens or tinfoil hats.
That's true, I guess. But George Tsoukalos is going to be really... He's the guy with the hair that's all crazy and sticks up.
Yeah,
he's
from the
ancient
History
aliens
Channel.
Guy.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, this is really cool. I really want to watch this. Do you know how many episodes?
I think it's about 8.
Okay.
6 to 8, something like that. And each one of them sort of... Like, it's really well shot, so it's beautiful imagery. Like,
okay.
I learned a lot about history, and I know people are like, but that is that history? He, I think, is very clear about what he says is his thoughts and opinions versus what established archaeologists, historians would say. So I think you can, if you consider yourself to be a critical thinker, I think you can watch Ancient Apocalypse and enjoy it.
Right. Well, I mean, what else is there to watch? We don't have a lot. This is Netflix, right? I'm joking. Oh. That was sarcasm.
Oh, I was like,
no,
what?
But I'm always into something like this, as why we have this segment. So that is very, very cool. So do they bring up anything about what evidence there is? Because, you know, he's saying that all of this existed before. Does he bring up any evidence to support that?
I mean, again, he's got theories, but there's not going to be a smoking gun. Okay. It's not like they were like, oh, here's where they all lived.
right.
Because otherwise we would know that, and then people wouldn't be arguing.
Then it would be destroyed because somebody would go loot it.
Well, yeah, there's that. All right. From unsolved mysteries to Elon Musk. He's a mystery we don't want to solve, but Don will tell us.
My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, The Adventures of Bradley and Don. You know, Elon Musk can get on our nerves sometimes. But, you know, he might have a good idea. We'll just have to discuss this. I feel like AI development is something that should just move forward, but he does not think so. Elon Musk got together with Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, and they have joined forces to gather a huge group of leaders in the tech industry. They all signed an open letter, and they want people to stop developing AI software. They're calling out the developers of AI software that they could be unaware that they're creating catastrophic risks that come with development.
Okay, so they're just concerned like something terrible is going to happen, but do they have any evidence of this, or are they just worried? What's their motivation?
I feel like because Elon Musk is in the business of tech, maybe he's not at the forefront of this, and just, I have no evidence to this, but I'm like, so you want them all to stop for 6 months so you can put some regulations in place? Maybe you just during that time want to develop your own AI software to keep up with them.
I'm sure that he is involved with AI, and AI being, of course, artificial intelligence, whether for his own companies, whether it's Tesla or SpaceX, I'm sure they utilize AI. So interesting. We don't know, frankly, who started this, but like you said, there's like 1,100 some people. What's the counterpoint? Like, what are the people on the other side going, you guys calm down? Because I would imagine not everybody agrees.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of those. Neil. And he says, cool your jets, Elon. AI is not a threat to humanity. He thinks that they're watching too many sci-fi movies, and he's kind of just laughing at this. TMZ caught up with him on Wednesday, and he was at the airport, but I'm sure that they were like, hey, are you doing anything? We need to talk to you. So
Right. They
aren't just, I mean, I think that they're always standing by at the airport to catch celebrities coming in and out, but they probably knew he was going to be there, and they wanted to know what he thought about this 6 month break on AI development. And he says, this is nothing new. We've seen the twists and turns triggered by the tech revolution for more than 100 years. When jobs get replaced by machines, people find new jobs. And here's the big point, that if AI eventually takes over all the jobs, we can all go to the beach, which I'm assuming he is just joking there, and he's on his way to the beach on a vacation.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be such a bad idea. But he's absolutely right. And again, I would put my faith in Neil deGrasse Tyson in this regard, because look back at history.
Because
history, if you look at every time machines have taken over, it just means we do different work. So it causes a problem in the moment, and we have to readjust and assess. Yeah. And be flexible. And that's what government's supposed to be there to do, to help us remain nimble. God, now I sound like a politician, but like, we've been through this before. But I truly believe from my own uninformed space over here on the internet that we are living through an AI bubble right now where everybody's freaking out, mostly people who are not doing the actual work, about the dangers of AI. It's going to come for our jobs. I mean, you can just smell people saying this of like a blender in the 1920s.
Yeah.
What's next? They're going to take all our jobs.
Or a microwave oven.
What is a woman going to do if she's not at a blender?
She'll have thoughts and want to go to college.
Exactly. We can't have that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It doesn't take her 5 hours to make a dinner anymore. Yeah. What's she going to do with the other three?
She's going to want
idle hands.
Stuff to do.
So my
point is, I just think we're in this bubble and it's going to burst, and we're going to realize that AI is just as clunky as humanity. Also, I saw somebody point out that I follow on Twitter who was like, yeah, I'm really not that worried about AI, because if AI is actually too smart for us, mm-hmm. it'll be nice, because we're the mean ones.
Yeah.
We're the dumb ones.
Yeah.
When it comes to like technology. Right. So if this thing is so smart, it's probably going to be a lot better than we are mm-hmm. at a lot of things, which, again, I just think we're overreacting a bit. So,
yes. And we've heard all the horror stories. We are well aware of, like, well, you know, they asked ChatGPT to give them advice on this, and this is what it said. It urged somebody to want to end their life or something like that. Those are extremes.
And I think the dangerous thing about this is that they're calling for the government to get involved, which, as we know, whenever you approach Congress with things that are like, hey, you might not know a lot about this, but here is some scary evidence, they're going to run with the fear. And, you know, are we just going to stunt ourselves and let other countries take advantage of that? You know, if you think of it in that way, it's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't globally do anything about this. So
Well, that's the other conceit. You're never going to stop scientists from doing science because they're like, well, we should wait. No, they're just going to keep doing science. It's up to the rest of us to decide whether or not we should employ the technology that they use. I mean, we all have choices whether or not to pick up our phones on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. All of the dangers that, you know, whether people say TikTok is going to kill us all. Really, is it going to do any more damage than any other social media platform has done? And if you do think that's the case, put it down.
And I doubt in the future, people are still allowed to write checks. You know, if they don't want to, you know, use cash. It's not like
Donna.
It is inconvenient, Valentine. You know, to some people, but it's not like those things are going to go away where we're going to be forced to use AI always, you know. And I don't know. I just want to think now about what we want robots to do for us. Let's turn this into a fun thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing on a daily basis that you would like a robot to do?
I mean, there's so much, like, to the point of that you said about just heading to the beach. Think of all the things that you know, and frankly, you could already do. That's the other thing. That's why I'm not scared. Like, there's all this technology already. Who builds cars? You think it's people? Like, people show up because they have parts of the job to do, right? But there are tons of robotics that go into building a car.
I wonder how much he uses making Teslas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, AI is different than robotics. But my point is truly that, you know, technology, as much as we want to fear it, also enables us to do a tremendous amount of good and to have a lot more time on our hands. So if I were to have a robot in my day-to-day life, empty the dishwasher. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or a dishwasher that just puts the dishes away.
Yeah, that's good. I hate grocery shopping.
Perfect.
Absolutely cannot stand it. I have to make
They have that robot already. It's called Instacart.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know what to buy, you know? I don't know what to do. I want a robot to decide and go, well, in the past, you bought these things, which I know that if I looked at my Target app, I could probably figure that out.
So you're thinking that the robot's just going to, like, know what you need? Like, I think Dawn needs
cottage cheese
saltines today. Like, it's smart enough to be like, this is what you're going to eat, Dawn.
I know that, like, my sister has a refrigerator, I think, that knows whenever she has to put things in all the right places. And so it knows whenever she doesn't have any butter and then it orders butter or something.
I mean, I guess for some people that's awesome. And you could probably tell me 20 reasons.
It's a very tidy
refrigerator. But that sounds like so much work to me.
But it isn't. She doesn't. It puts it on a list. You know, and then it's like she knows she's out of butter.
But putting things in a certain place, that would drive me nuts.
What does your refrigerator look like? Is it messy?
No, I actually, I love a clean refrigerator. Every weekend I take everything out and then rearrange it, get rid of all the old stuff if there is anything. Otherwise it's a mess. Don't get me wrong. If you opened up my refrigerator on any given Tuesday, there's stuff everywhere. But at least once a week I try to go in and, like, you know, root around.
Yeah.
What about you?
Very tidy refrigerator. Everything has its place. I have a drawer and I keep a lot of my stuff down there.
Like what's a lot of your stuff? What do you mean?
Well, my stuff so I am living in a home with people that have gluten allergies, so I don't want anything to get confused. Like, we have like GF butter, you know, it's like gluten-free butter. You don't want to, you know, use a knife in there that's been touching some toast.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, that has gluten in it. That's how sensitive these. It's not just I prefer gluten. It's like you're going to be very sick
allergy.
If you don't. And it's like contamination is a thing. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's just, you know, I just don't. When I open someone's refrigerator, if you've ever done that, and it's just crammed and packed with things, and you're like, I'm afraid of what the science experiment is in here. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. You don't like clutter.
I don't like clutter in a fridge. Like, ooh, what's that smell?
Yeah, you shouldn't have rotten food
in your fridge. Yeah, I mean, or just like so much. When you open a refrigerator and it has like so many leftovers, I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are we making more food when there's food?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I know you might not feel like it. I don't know. Here I am now judging people's refrigerators.
I don't know. Have you had a lot of experience with...
other people's... Yes, I routinely...
Okay. I was going to say, it sounds like this is personal experience.
I am the fridge police and I...
You are?
No.
Oh.
No. You know, and I only had one child, so that definitely I can acknowledge that makes a difference.
I will tell you, you know, like I do most of the cooking. Okay, I do all of the cooking at home and I do the grocery shopping. So I kind of feel like that's my domain and I get real, you know, aggressive when I like am telling Jamie, like, FYI, this is for this. I have to be real communicative because otherwise things might disappear that were going to be on the schedule.
the schedule. But I know what we're making.
So I'm like, just make sure you understand and you can eat whatever you want. But
I bought this garlic
cheese
for this.
Is for this dinner recipe we're having. Yeah. So I have to get really specific.
It's for chili and cinnamon rolls. Well, that was fun. What else do you want? I want a computer to think up really good stock tips for me and invest all my money.
God, yeah.
Because I don't want to have to make decisions. And I know that that is done for me with whatever
retirement. You would trust
retirement.
Your like, retirement with a robot?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Don't trust
me. I'm not
me.
There.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I get, like, ideally it would be nice to just, you know.
And I already have that because you have, you know, low risk or high risk funds that you contribute to just in your retirement.
I do think, though, that I will be curious to see, like, where does AI, you know, I guarantee our business will have a component of AI. I mean, you know, there might come a time when, you know, you can actually turn over broadcasting in some capacity to an artificial intelligence, whether it's through a voice that's writing its own content.
They're going to take all of our words and voices and then they're going to create.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe we'll just
old tapes.
Maybe we'll just decide what we want it. It'll come to us with 10 things that we should talk about. And we'll be like, OK, I like those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're still going to have a job to do. It's just going to be a different job. And I hope it's an easier job, although if past is prologue, it's just going to be one more system that we're going to forget our login to.
Oh, right.
And have to go to a training that.
Are we just talking about the internet, right?
Yes, exactly. All right. When we come back, Mike's got a new game for us to play. It's Game Ooh. Show Roulette right here on My Talk. Hey, My Talkers. Bradley here for my friends at Boulevard Autoworks, BLVDAutoworks.com. Spring is not quite here yet, but it's just around the corner, which means there is a chance at some point in the near future you could be driving around with the windows down. I mean, heck, do it today, but, you know, with the heat on. And if you got the windows rolled down and you hear a strange noise and that noise follows you, it's probably your car. This is totally normal. It happens all the time. In fact, I've had this happen before where you're like, what is that? Is that, what's that rattle? Is that my trunk? Is that a wheel bed? What's I don't even know what a wheel bed is. But you see what I'm saying? You hear a noise. You don't know what's causing it. So you have to call the experts. The experts at Boulevard Auto Works. They'll figure out where that noise is coming from. Or maybe once it starts to warm up, you crank up the AC and it doesn't work. Or not as well as it should. Now's the time to call Tom and his team over at Boulevard. They're here to get you there. BLVD Auto Works.
My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Everything. The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. All right. It's that time of day where we get to play a game.
Yes.
Yes. Mike's
time now
been
to play
wheel.
Along. It's Game Show Roulette. Here's your host, Mike Ganger.
I will spin this wheel. But first, before I do that, you asked me the other day, Dawn, what the overall score is. So I did a little research, went back, and guess what?
What?
You know what today is?
Today is the 30th.
50th Game Show Roulette we've ever played.
Whoa.
Yeah. 50.
Congrats.
That's great.
Fun. You've done
Good
a
job,
lot of fun
Mike.
Games, Mike.
So we've played a whole bunch of games, and we're going to spin the wheel, figure
right,
out what we're playing today.
What are we playing?
And by the way, I will give you that overall total here in just
a
second.
Oh, no problem.
Second.
I might not want to know.
Well,
yes! We're going to start it, or I guess what? Do number 50 where it all started.
Uh-huh.
Match game, ironically, was the first game we ever did.
Dawn, you're good at this
50.
Game.
I am?
You
yeah.
won the very first time we played this
okay.
way back on December 12th. And the overall score, by the way, 26 wins for Bradley, 21 wins for Dawn.
I would say that's almost darn near tied.
One for Grant, one for Paul. So there we go. That's the full scoreboard
okay,
there for
great,
you.
Great.
So let's do it. Let's play a little game show roulette, figure out who's going to win. Again, today we're playing match game. Very simple game. We will give you that match game a clue. Let me flip that coin first. Somebody call it. It is tails.
Oh, I always say tails. Bummer. Why didn't I go with my instinct?
Yeah, that you should have. It was tails. Darn it, anyhow. Shoot. We are going to start with Bradley here. You get to choose. You want question A or question B?
I'll take A, Bob.
All righty. Again, we had a panel of celebrities. This actually is back to Match Game 76.
Okay.
So remember,
very important
bicentennial.
To know that. Yes.
With your answers, think about it from a 1976 vibe. Here we go. You went with A?
Yep.
All right. First question is this. Again, I'll read the question, then I'll play the little think music, and here we go. I think the judge used to own a deli. Instead of a gavel, he bangs a blank. One more time. I think the judge used to own a deli. Instead of a gavel, he bangs a blank.
Pickle, Bob.
You say a pickle.
Pionkle.
Did any of our celebrities say pickle? Just one.
Oh,
but you
hey,
got one.
One's not nothing.
One is not nothing. You are exactly right. 1 point for Bradley. Number one, Dawn, you have a guess?
Yes. Chicken leg.
Chicken leg is what you would have said. No, the number one answer, that wasn't on the board.
Sandwich?
A salami.
Oh, salami would have been a good one.
Four of our celebrities said salami.
Okay. Celebrities said salami.
So 1 point, though, because we did have one pickle.
I'll take the one.
It was a salami, a pickle, and a hoagie. Those were the four answers that were given, three answers that were given. All right, Dawn, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Playing a little match game today for a game show roulette. My grandmother has quite the green thumb. Last time I was at her house, there were so many plants, I needed a blank just to go to the bathroom. Again, my grandmother has quite the green thumb. Last time I was at her house, there were so many plants, I needed a blank just to go to the bathroom.
Machete!
Machete!
Great answer!
Is machete one of the top answers our celebrities gave? It's the number one answer given by celebrities. Woo-hoo. Three of them said machete. Any other guess?
Yeah.
Go for it.
A hoe?
Weed eater. Sure.
Lawnmower was two.
Oh, that's a good one.
Pruner was the other one.
Oh,
one
set of I guess pruner. Weed eaters, were they around in 1970s?
Weed whackers? No,
probably not.
Had to be around there. I don't know. Okay, after the first round, we've got, and again, whoever is leading after the first two rounds, they will get the first guess when it comes to the super match, and whoever has the top money answer for the super match will be the winner for today. It does. This is all just kind of jockeying for position to get in there for that super match. All right, Bradley, you are trailing. It is 3 points for Dawn, one for Bradley.
I'll try to come back.
Let's go ahead and give me an A or a B. Which question would you like?
I would like B, Bob.
You'd like B this time. Okay, here we go. The economic crash has been getting really tough.
Oh, God.
Even the old woman who lives in the shoe had to move out into a blank. Again, economic crisis has been really tough. Even the old woman who lives in a shoe had to move out and into a blank.
Like, there's so many things I want to say. I'm going to go with a sock.
You're going to go with a sock. All right. The economic crash has been getting really tough. Even the old woman lives in a shoe, had to move out and into a sock. Four of our celebrities said sock. Nicely done. That was by far the
top. I didn't say box.
Answer.
I was going to say like shoe box, but.
What about slipper?
Shoe box would have been pretty good. One celebrity did say slipper. So we had four socks, one slipper, and one sandal.
Okay.
Wow. Tough when it rains. Yeah.
You'd say a croc. Right?
Yeah, yes, croc. Exactly.
That'd have been a good answer for today. Alrighty. We will move on to this one. So, Dawn, you're now trailing by two. You need to match at least three celebrities to retake the lead here.
All right, I can do this.
All right, here we go. King Kong is so big. How big is he? King Kong is so big that the National Weather Service has decided to put out a warning every time he blanks.
Oh.
Again, King Kong is so big that the National Weather Service has decided to put out a warning every time he blinks.
Sneezes?
Dawn is going with sneezes. Did any of our celebrities say sneezes? Yes, one did.
Oh,
just one.
What was the top answer?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
Is that your guess?
That would be my guess.
That would be your guess. Unfortunately, that was not on the list.
Oh, you would have to.
It's not polite.
It was the 70s. They were doing cocaine.
They were doing cocaine.
It's not about polite.
And while they were doing cocaine, they all, three of them said cries.
Oh, cries.
Oh, that makes sense because of the brain. Get
and,
it?
And the other two said tinkles.
Oh,
yeah. Every time he tinkles. So with that, it is now a 5-4 lead for Bradley after our two rounds of action. That means we go on to the super match where I give you super one match. Word with a blank and you two both get an answer here on this one. Whose ever answer is higher on the money board. There's a $500 answer, a $250 and a $100 answer.
All right.
And again, whoever has the top answer is going to be our winner for today. The 50th game.
God, so much pressure.
A game show roulette. All right, Bradley, you get to go first.
You like an underdog, remember.
Like an underdog, but
hi,
that would be you today.
That's me.
Not,
be nice.
Not today.
Lose on purpose.
Lose on
purpose. Be nice, lose on purpose, said nobody who played a game ever. But nice try, Dawn. I see you. I smell you.
All right, here we go.
Especially after we had that garlicky chicken experience today. It was so good, but man, my breath.
My breath.
That garlic and cilantro leftover
so
up in there. Yeah, it's not the best. All right, here we go.
Come on now.
Road blank. Road blank. Again, what answer will you give Bradley for road blank?
Okay, Bob. I'm going to go with block.
Road block.
Road
is what
block.
You were going to say. All right. Dawn, an answer for road blank.
Road trip?
Road trip. Good one. Okay, okay.
I also thought of road rage.
Okay.
That seems kind of modern.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
what
did they use
trip?
That term?
Maybe sign.
We'll find out. We'll start on the first one. Road, and when I say first one, we're going to go to the $500 answer first because I like drama. Closed was the number one answer.
Oh!
Road closed was
God,
the number
that's
one
so
answer.
70s, because all them road closures.
The number two answer was actually for $250, road rage.
Oh!
So the $100 answer remains, is it trip? Is it
block?
Block for the win. It's road trip.
Yay!
Dawn,
you got
nails it.
Oh, yeah.
Nicely done.
Oh, my God, and she soars ahead to 22.
Mom.
22, you're only four back now
only
after
four
that
behind.
Big
I'm
victory.
Really going to have to kick it into high gear tomorrow.
Nicely done, Dawn.
All right. Congratulations to Bradley.
Yeah, he's got a consolation prize, but...
Okay, I hate that guy.
I do, too.
It's a woman.
It's a gal.
I tried to introduce that to Sarah last night. And? It did not go well.
Oh, God! Was she terrified?
Yes.
Oh, just wait.
And I kind of was.
You're going to get you're gonna get a text from her at some point, like, I love Jasper. Mike, thank you so much for that wonderful game. And thank you, dear listeners, for giving us 3 hours of your life. When we come back, it's Lori and Julie. We'll see you tomorrow.